one who delivers. God with us to deliver us. Well, thank you, Father, that this is what the Advent's all about. The coming of Christ to come, to take away our sins, destroy the works of the devil, conform us into his image, crush the enemy's head. I praise you for that today. And I ask, Lord, that in this season that we would come to know that like never before. Lord, I want to thank you that your greatest desire was to know us and for us to know you. And I ask, God, for that kind of message this morning, that kind of walk today, that kind of blessing today, that we have this great God who is the one and only, who wants us, who believes, Lord, that this God who desires us, this God who welcomes us into the family of God. And I just want to praise you for that today. And as we open your word, I pray that you'd speak to us, Lord. Be honored, glorified, Lord, in worship today. Be honored and glorified in your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his great sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to be looking at a few verses. Mentioned this passage a few weeks ago in passing. And I want to just look at this passage again, kind of in a little bit more detail. And then also, we're going to move to John chapter 15 toward the end of this message. I want to read it to you. Follow along. Chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, to this church, Ephesus, I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have you've endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Hey, pretty good, right? Pretty good. This church got a lot of things going on for it. This church has perseverance. It has endurance. This church has a lot of great things going for them. They can't tolerate evil men. They toil. They walk in their deeds. They have work that they do in the name of Christ. They put to test those who call themselves apostles, so they have discernment. They've got a lot of things going for them. But notice the next verse. The next verse says, but I have this against you. There's something lacking in your life. There's something lacking in all the good stuff that you do, all the good stuff that you say, all these things that are about your life. I have this against you, church in Ephesus. And here it is. I have this against you that you have left your first love. You have left your first love. And here's the thought. Church, never lose your first love. Never lose it. You ask, well, what is that? Well, your first love, if you're a believer in Christ, is God himself. Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 40, up on the screen, if you would, for just a moment. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Stop right there for a moment and just ask yourself the question, how are we to love God? With everything that we are. Everything. We love him first. We seek him first. We love him, watch this, most. This is the gospel. This is faith, hope, and love. The love is the greatest of these. Faith, hope, the things that we believe, the things that we anticipate, and love is the result. We love him first. We love him most. It's a powerful thought. Scripture calls this the great commandment. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says it. He says it to this man. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Another gospel says in all your strength, everything that you are to love this great God. He's first. It's who we worship him. We worship him and him alone. Nothing else in this life. And then he says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, and he goes on in verse 40, and he says, on these two commands depend the whole law and the prophet. I like prophets. I like what some translations say. They said, if you are doing the two, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, you're fulfilling the law and the prophets. You're fulfilling the word. First, love. Never, ever leave it. This church has left, the scripture says, their first love. And then he says, verse 5, therefore, remember from where you have fallen. Where have you fallen from? You've fallen from having this great devotion where Jesus really and truly is number one in my life. I live for him. Where have you fallen? Well, listen, when you leave your first love, it means that you no longer love the Lord like you loved him at first. Where you were attentive, hopeful, happy, healthy, seeking him first, loving him most. Church was great. Worship was great in your soul, and it was individually and corporately, no matter what song was being sung, no matter what was being preached. You just loved it, and you were always seeking him, and the things you, these were the things that you just did. Isaiah 26 speaks of this. It speaks, listen, the steadfast mind of the Lord will keep you in perfect peace because he trusts in you. In other words, first love means you're always on my mind. You're always on my heart. You're always in me, and I know it, and I'm aware of it. This is first love. And he says, remember where you've fallen. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 talks about this following after him. Do you have that on the screen as well? Yeah, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, because set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We seek him first. We love him most. And he says this church has somehow lost that. They've gotten away from God being the number one thing in their lives. And so he says, remember from where you have fallen. And it's really simple, he says. I'm not saying it's easy. But remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Literally, do the first deeds. The first things, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. I'm going to remove you from being a witness for my glory. And it's interesting, if you ever go to Ephesus, I've never been there, I've just seen pictures. We have Todd and Gwen Schmidt who live near Ephesus in Turkey. It's just a barren waste now. Just nothing but ruins. He says, listen, this is the key to everything. You love him first. It's the key to our relationship with God. It's even the key to our relationship with our spouses and our relationships. So this first love, we never leave it, and first things, we never stop doing them. And I think first love has everything to do with an attitude. Think first thoughts. And here it is. Think about when you first fell in love with your spouse, with your wife, with your husband. Think in relationship. And I know I said this a couple of weeks ago. You'll remember it. Think infatuation. Think romance. It's where your heart and mind always was. First love came, and what did you do? Let me tell you a couple of things you did, or a bunch of things you did. First of all, you talked a bunch. Men, that's why they liked us so much, because we knew how to talk, right? I don't know what happened when you got married, because a lot of men stopped talking. A lot of men stopped communicating. But oh my, when the man's hunting and when the man's doing his thing, I mean, he is talking, 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 talking. He wants to know all about you, right? He wants to know what you like, what you don't like, what you love, what you hate. I mean, I know this because I'm a man and I did it. Amen? Amen. We talked a bunch. We were excited to know her. I'm just going to talk about men because I'm a man, okay? I'm not going to talk about women, what y'all did, but I'm going to talk about what men did. I mean, we talked a bunch. I mean, we spent as much time with her. And we were always thinking of her. And you were present even when you were not present. I mean, you were just present. You just had this awareness about this first love, this infatuation, this love thing. I mean, guys, if you didn't do that, you wouldn't be married to the one you're sitting next to, or your wife might be not here today. I mean, it's just a principle of marriage. But now, somehow, we're not even present when we're present. And we've left our first love. That's what that means. That's what that means. Listen, you were present even when you were not. You honored her. You blessed her. You gave gifts of time, service, attention, always ready to be with her, always ready to serve her. And you had a perpetual yes on the altar. Yeah, whatever you say, honey, I'll do it. And you dreamed. You dreamed about your future. You dreamed about your children. You dreamed about getting married. And you dreamed all those things. And yeah, guys dream too. And we dreamed it. It was just that. It was just this first love. And we did these first things. And then you told the world. And then if you did it right, you married. And then you lived with her, and then you remained with her, and you remained with him, and you were one, and you became one flesh, and one mind, and one heart. You did all those things. So when I think about first love, I can't help but think about my relationship with my wife. 43 years, 40 married, three. I'm getting a little nervous here because I don't know if I know the number right? No. 3 years dating. And I mean, we were our everything. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Unless you were dysfunctional. Everything. And there was this great desire. When you think about first love and first things, think that if you had a healthy relationship. Because something was stirring in your heart, and out of your heart came love. It came life. There came patience. There came kindness. There came not being provoked. There came not taking into account a wrong suffered. And all of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Think that. But think it of even greater when you first came to Jesus. The question that I want to ask us today is are you still loving him first? Is there some way that you have left your first love and you no longer do the first things? You know, a couple of weeks ago, I shared a couple of things from this pulpit of some confession. And one of the things that I did not mention with you as the group, and I have mentioned this to some of you, was that during my birthday week, I asked the Lord, is there anything I need to repent of? Is there anything I need to confess? And is there anything that I need for you to take back? And you know, immediately something came to my mind. And it was 12 years ago. And a lot of great things were happening here. Not that they've not happened in the last 12 years. Hear me what I'm saying. But there were just some things happening around me personally and around me with friendships and some family things and some things going on and staff stuff. And we were growing. It was just some of this was just growing pains, and we were growing. And I made the statement 3 or 4 times, I wish it was back to just me and Scott. You know, God just did the announcements, ran back to the square with our kids. Been with me 30 years and more. And I made that statement.
And I made it more than one or two times. I made it about three or four times. In my frustration, I said something. I spoke it. And I want you just to know, and it's not so much just what's happening numbers-wise, but it's just what happened was, I mean, we were here, we plateaued, we went down, and we never had that growth again. And I confessed it. And I talked to my wife, and I shared with her, and then I texted the elders, and I said, I need to meet with you in the morning. I have a confession to make. Parentheses, it's not career-ending confession. And so we met the next morning. And I drove up to the church, and I just tell you, I just felt silly. And I thought, this is silly. But I had said something, and I said it a couple of times, more times. And I'm just going to say this, just kind of stop here for a moment. Watch what you say. Watch what you speak. The tongue is something little that can set your house on fire, your marriage on fire, your course on fire. The things that we've said to our kids, the things our parents have said to us, that stunted growth, that stunted the spiritual walk, the relationship that God wants us to have with our parents, the relationship God wants us to have with our wives. We can speak negative things that come out, and the Bible says what comes out of the mouth will defile you. That's what I said. And immediately repented and turned and confessed it. Spoke to the elders. Stood together, asked God to take that back. A couple of other things that were going on in my heart, and I shared that a couple of weeks ago about just being afraid to envision again and to have vision because of fear of failing and fear of not that happening. And so I go home that night, and I'm just telling you, it's just all off of me. And then I get up in the morning because all of a sudden I want to dream again. I want to give vision again. I want to do these kinds of things again. And I got up Monday morning, and you got to understand about a Monday morning for a pastor, it is usually a blah morning, okay? Because you've done all day, you've put all your effort into day, and just sometimes you come off that high, and it was a blah thing, and I woke up, and I got to thinking about it, and I promise you, I say this, I confess it again, I said, nah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Of course, it was just a moment. I came over here, and I asked God, God, what do I do? And I'm just going to tell you as clear as the voice of God can be, He said, go back and do the first things. Do the first things. The things that when I came into your life. And so I went back and I thought back at these experiences that I had with God at 8 years old when I came to Jesus. What was happening? What were the first things? I was loving the stories of the Word. I was loving my friends at church. I was loving the church, and I found God. Those were the first things as an eight-year-old. I'd fill out my little card about daily Bible reading and my offering and all those things and attendance and all those things. Why? Not because I wanted to have an award for it. It's because I loved it. I was an eight-year-old who loved church. And I want to just say this right now. Many of kids have gone away because they had a love for the church and they had a love for the things of God. But somehow parents just decided, we're not going back. Or we're just going to go when we feel like we need to go. When we go three times a year or six times a year. And we squelch the love for the things of God. Instead of nurturing them and feeding them and speaking into them. But that's what was happening in my life. And I had my parents speaking into me. And I had my pastor speaking into me. And I had staff speaking into my life. Just like you have staff speaking into your children's lives. First things, love for the Word. Praying as an eight-year-old, learning as much as I could. And I think about 10 years old when I had that first inkling of a call in my life. And I was, at that point, was loving my pastor, and I was admiring what our staff did, and I was dreaming of being used of God, and I was sharing my faith with family. And then 15 years old, where I had this experience where I first became, well, I'm just going to call it like this. I'm going to say it like this, where I became euphoric in the Word of God. Have you ever read the Word of God and you have felt euphoric over it? I mean, isn't that what you feel in the beginnings of your relationship, your first love? It's euphoria is what it is. There's something going on in your body. There's something going on in your brain. There's something going on in your soul. There's something going on in your strength. And there was this euphoria. And I remember it so well. I was at the kitchen table at the place that I grew up, and I had a life Bible or a life notebook out, and I had my Bible out, and I was writing things down. I was writing them down, and they were getting into my soul. And it's where I learned cross-referencing, and that's where I went to the Word. And I could not believe what God was doing, but I want to tell you what He was doing. He was washing me as a 15, 16-year-old guy. First things, loving church more, loving the things that God loves, people. Not moving into places, yeah, where I'm disappointed, but not letting the disappointment get in the way of my great God and His great bride, the church. Could I articulate that at 15? Absolutely not. But I can look back and I can see these were the first things. These were the things that were going on in my life, the things that I was doing. And the whole thought about it was the days that I got excited about sharing the faith and where they were training us to share the faith and to share the gospel and give a gospel presentation and have a gospel conversation at 16 years old. It was days of euphoria. It was days of excitement, of anticipation, of dreaming dreams, of asking God to do His work in us, to be used as a vessel for the glory of God. And I want to ask that question. When's the last time you felt that? When's the last time you thought that? When's the last time you asked that? To be used of God. To be used of God. When I was about 18, I had this kind of life thought. I just want to seek God. I want to know Him. I want to come to love Him. I want to come to be used of Him to see the kingdom of God advance. And that's not just some preacher. It's all of us. We are a part of the body of Christ. We serve the living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our brother. The Spirit of God is our guide. We are in the family of God. And yet we stop thinking about Him because of all the other stuff going on in our lives. And when you stop thinking about it and you just kind of compartmentalize, it's like, well, I'm going to go to church today, and this is the day we think about it, and this is the day we read our Bible, and this is the day we pray, and this is the day we sing. And it's not even a day. It's just 20 minutes of song. And if you're lucky, 40 minutes of preaching. Who knows what I mean, right? It could be 50, right? So, and that's it. And I ask the question, is there a longing in your heart for more of this great God? This longing to be known by Him, this longing to know Him, to be used of Him for the glory of God? Or do you want to just live your life till you're 80 years old and all you got from your job was a watch that said, thank you for the 50 years? Or a nice retirement. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You have the very living DNA of the divine living in your life today. And the question is, am I longing for it, desiring for it, wanting more of Him, hungry for the things of God? And that's what we were. When we dated, when we courted, we were hungry for each other. It's an awesome thought. To move to a relationship with God that we are, He's truly our first love, and we're truly doing the first things. I was 16 and a half years old when I surrendered to the Lord in a choir loft in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Learning and loving to share life and gifts with strangers, schoolmates. And then I came to Cottonwood and had a move of God when I was 27 years old where I became free. And began preaching the freedom of God. And it was a honeymoon with Jesus. And there was just 25 of us. Yeah, you know, and I don't know about you, but I'm kind of wired to be with people. And I mean, by the second day of my week, I'm done with people because there's no more. But I prayer walked this place. I dreamed on this place. I died to the things of this world in this place. I died to the success of ministry and all those things that were put in my mind as an 18, 19, 20-year-old. And I came to know Jesus like I've never known him before. Many of the things that I preach and share about freedom and being conformed to the image of Jesus happened right here on this property when it was just 3 acres. First things, Mike. Get back to the first things. Never stop doing the first things. As you receive the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive the Lord? You did it by a simple faith, and you repented of your sins and repented of your lifestyle of sin, and you believed him, and then you got hungry for him because you were born again, and you were a born-again baby. And what do babies do? They desire the milk, or they die. Or they die. First things. Where the word washed me again, where I did these prayer walks and I began asking God to do things that just were seemingly impossible in this middle of the nowhere place, but yet being satisfied with his presence, no matter what would happen, no matter what would take place, that God, that you'd satisfy me with your presence above all else, because I want to love you most. First love. And God began changing me in ways that were just phenomenal. Why? Because I was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not ministry, not successes, not money, not stuff, not even things that are good, the things that are good for us. That was not the priority. The priority was Jesus first. My first love. And I want to ask you, church, what are the evidences that you've either left your first love or your first love is as strong as ever with this great God? What are the evidences of it? What is it that I'm to walk in? Because I think about this first love, first things, and I think about it with as my in my relationship with my wife, in my relationship with my church, in my relationship with staff, and relationship, I already said it, my wife, my family, my relationship with God. It's all about what? It's all about communication. It's all about being present. Communicating. What did we do when we first came to Jesus? We prayed. We had this intimate, growing relationship with Jesus. And if you just came to Jesus to get your ticket punched and you don't have relationship, you didn't come to Jesus. You might have said all the right things. But the question that I want to ask you, has there ever been a honeymoon with Jesus? Has there ever been an excitement with Jesus? Has there ever been this thought, man, that this is it and nothing's going to change it? And then 5 years later, something has changed. So we left our first love. We're not doing the first things. And we've stopped praying. We've stopped asking God for things, for the things of the Lord. We've stopped. And the things we ask in times of turmoil, in times of struggle, in times of loss. But what in times of abundance that we have this great, great desire to know him and to follow him and to be all that he wants us to be so that we can be all that he wants us to be for him. First love, first things. With Jesus, I'm telling you, we read our Bible and God spoke to us. And you heard the voice, and you lived to hear him, and you lived to speak with him. That's what prayer is. Over the last 4 weeks, we've done a prayer initiative where 100 of you have responded to my call for prayer. And every Monday, I've been sending out just a prayer guide. And I'm hearing from you, and I'm seeing God do some great and mighty things. It was just a 4-week commitment. Monday was supposed to be the last one for this season. But the Monday one's going out, and I'm just going to keep on going because I want us to pray together. I want us to find some things to pray about, for God to put upon our heart to pray for our lives, our marriages, our sons and daughters. There's so many times that we don't know what to pray. Sometimes you need that help. It's a prayer initiative. I was just praying for Cottonwood in the communities, and what I'm finding is people who are doing this, there's an ignition taking place, an igniting of a fire in their hearts, in your hearts, that's making a difference because we're crying out to this great God, and we're speaking to this great God on behalf of others. But you know, I think about another thought, and that is we heard God. We spoke to God and we heard God. By doing what? By opening this. By opening Scripture. When's the last time you've been washed by the reading of the Word? When's the last time you've opened the Word and the Word just came alive? And the 15 minutes, the 20 minutes, the 30 minutes just swept by you. And God spoke to you and you wrote it down and you spoke of it and you talked about it and you thought about it. The Word of God. This great God who wants to speak, this Scripture. And the question is am I going to believe what the Word of God has to say? Am I going to go to it, to read it, to receive it, to consume it? I mean, think about this with me for just a moment. What does the Bible say about the Bible? Well, first of all, the Bible says that the Word of God is inspired. The Word that you have in your hand is inspired by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired. It's God-breathed and profitable to teach you, to reprove you, to correct you, to train you in righteousness, that we might be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's what the Word of God does. It's God-breathed. God breathed this Word. And I'm just going to throw it on the shelf of my heart and my life and pick it up when I think I need a word. When you need a word today. Where I need a word today. This Word that is God-breathed, inspired. The Bible says that God's Word is alive and eternal. It never ends. 1 Peter chapter 1, 24 on the screen. All flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word which was preached to you. God's Word brings faith. It births faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. And God's Word brings righteous and wise living. John 17, 17 says, Jesus spoke this. He said, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. And I don't know when was the last time you came to the Word believing at least these four principles of this. I think about one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 19. It talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God. And then it talks about the Word declaring the glory of God. And it says this, if you'll put that up on there, John chapter 19, that the commandment of the Lord is right, right? You got that? Come on. Okay, turn there. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord, verse 8, are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. They're more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servants are warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. Notice. Do you remember when we talked just a moment ago about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Notice what the word targets. It targets your soul and it restores it. So I can be like Jesus. And the testimony of the Lord, it makes wise the simple. It gives me a wise mind so I can think like Jesus. And the precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart so I can act like Jesus. And the commandment of the Lord is pure and light in the eyes so I can see like Jesus. I have in my possession handwritten Bibles from Russia. Sheets of paper with scripture on it. Because that's all they had in a communist country. And they're some of the most precious pieces of paper because a believer got on his knees or got down and had a copy of Bible or had a copy of the Acts and he wrote the whole book out. And he did it again, and so they would hand it out to each other because he knew the value of the Word of God, the value of first things. I had a friend, his name was Mark Cathy, and Mark would go over into Eastern Bloc countries with Campus Crusade on summers as a college student and would actually smuggle Bibles in. Fascinating stories. And they'd get that Bible and they would do this. They would rip it apart with book by book and they'd hand it out and they would write them out. They'd write the books out so that so many people could have a copy. Why? Because they were hungry for God. And they knew the Word would feed them. And they knew the Word would be so much powerful than gold or money or even the freedom that they were looking for from the state. I'll never forget this. I'm sitting in my pastor's study or my pastor's house, and Mark is there, and he's a couple years younger than me, and I'm the youth pastor, and he's one of the guys who are in college now, and he says to me, Mike, I'm just telling you, they're so hungry over there for the Word. They're hungry for it. I'll go on a train, I'll get off, they'll pick me up in town, they'll take me out to a big, to the countryside, we'll get out the car and we'll walk a half a mile, and I'll come over the hill, and there's 1,000 people waiting to hear the Word. 1,000 people hungry for the things of God. I'll never forget what I said in my mind, in my heart. Oh God, I want a pastor of people like that. Hungry for God, hungry for the Word, hungry for prayer, hungry for the work of God. But what happens is in our lives, we get so distracted because this freedom has lost its sacredness. Do you know that? It's become so familiar that it's lost the sacredness of freedom to worship our great God. And the Word that we have in our house, 4 or 5 Bibles, are so familiar that it's lost the sacredness of God's Word, of opening up the Word and seeing the Word come to life that targets the soul, that restores it, that rejoices the heart. Are you depressed today? Go to the Word. Blah, today, go to the Word. It rejoices the heart. Mike, do the first things. Just go do the first things of Word, of prayer, of a relationship with me that's intimate, that's growing, because I got more to show you, son. I got more to do in your heart. And I'm telling you, these past 5 weeks is another honeymoon with Jesus. And it's day after day, and it's been week after week here. Why? Because I would do the first things. And the way we respond to it is we've got to read it, we've got to study it, we've got to be in it. And then we believe it, and then we get to know the Word, and we get to speak the Word to one another, and then we obey the Word. We do what the Word says. So we respond. First love, first things, is all about communication with God, hearing Him and Him hearing us. That's what it is. You said that's so simple. Well, let me tell you something, husband, wife. If you've left your first love, go try that. Go try talking to one another and being present to one another and hearing one another and speaking to one another and being interested in one another and being present to one another and doing those first things and watch your marriage change on the dime. It will. Because it's the same principle. Have you left your first love? If you have, the Bible says to remember where you've fallen and to repent and then run, do the first things. You know, because in the later parts of this week, I'm reading through John right now, reading through New Testament, and so I came to John chapter 15. I want you to turn to this, and we're just going to just list these things real quick, and then we'll close, and maybe after the new year, we'll come back and talk more about this. But in John chapter 15, he talks about this great, great relationship that he wants to have. Do you remember one of the last things I said about your first love as a husband and wife? You got married and committed to abide with one another, to live with one another. Husbands, you promised to live with your wives in an understanding way, to honor her, to love her like Jesus loved the church. And all the wives go, yes. And wives, you are called to be to your husbands as you're the Lord, to see to it that you respect him. That's the way you love. And if you're at lost in your marriage today, and you're watching this from wherever you are, you're at lost, and you're not, and you're saying we don't have the first love, I'm going to tell you, get back to the promises you made. And ask God to do this work in your marriage. To get in the car and say, yeah, we've lost our first love for the Lord, but we've lost our first love for one another. Let's start doing the first things. Let's start doing those things again. But one of the things happens is that you became one flesh. That's what you did. And I want you to notice what it says in chapter 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Do you know what the word abide means? It means to live, to remain, and to continue. That's what it means. It means knowing him, having an intimate knowledge of this great God. Can you say, I know God? Do you know him? Do you know this great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? And I want you to know, when you abide in him, when you remain in him, when you remain attentive, you're doing the first things of communication. You're reading the word and you're praying and you're hearing him and you're speaking to him. And God's speaking to you and you're getting up and you're doing what God's asked you to do. That's how you abide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. And I'm in the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. Watch. He bears much fruit. If you're fruitless today in your Christian life, it's because you're not abiding. Because the Bible promises, apart from him, you can do nothing. And he's promised me, he promises that when I abide in him, I bear much fruit. And that's the first promise. You got the fruit of the Spirit, and it's abundant. Second, you're at prayers. Listen to me. Your prayers get answered. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch. It dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them to the fire, they're burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Through the Spirit's abundant, your prayers are answered. Third, God is glorified. By this, my Father is glorified. By this, that you bear much fruit. And then what? Prove to be my disciples. The way you prove to be your disciples is you abide in him, and you bear much fruit. We say it a lot here. The fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. 9 fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Fourth, you keep his word. Just as the Father has loved me, verse 9, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll abide in my love. And as I've kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. Let me ask you a question. You hear me say this about 5 times a year. What's the last thing that God asked you to do that you've not done? Go do that. And find this passage of Scripture alive in your heart. The Bible says that your joy will be made full. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you had full joy? When is the last time you had full joy? could this message be speaking to you? Because the lasting joy and the fullness of joy comes from abiding in Him. You know, your joy is full. You love one another just as Jesus loved you. Just as the Father's loved me, verse 9, I also have loved you. Abide in my love, right? If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's word and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. This is my commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. And then you go down to verse 15, you're called the friend of Jesus. And then you look at verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, love one another. Word of God, this is what it does. I'm so grateful that you saw this morning, got this card of being in the Word together every day in December. And then we'll have another card come out in January so that we have what we're calling a Word Initiative that was just kind of birthed by Katie Stutler one day, came up to us and said, hey, let's read the Bible together. Let's be in the Word together. So we have a prayer initiative, and then we have a Word Initiative. And you've got this card, and it's going to probably be on the app on Wednesday, but to be able to say the Church of Cottonwood's on the same page every day in December and then every day in 2022. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to read that passage. Get out a notebook and write it down. Underline your Bible. Write what God's saying to you, speaking to you. Is it a command to obey? Is it encouragement to live? Is it something I need to share with somebody? Is it a sin to repent of? Whatever it is, to let God speak to you in that. And I was going to say, this is kind of a prep for the whole year next year. Now, some of you might say, you know what? By the fifth day, I missed 2 days. Well, listen, on the sixth day, get to Luke 6. Catch up later. So we're all on the same page. All on the same page. I am so expectant. I'm already seeing wonderful things through prayer initiative. You want to be on that prayer initiative, let me know today. Text me. My number's in the fold. Because we're starting back in 2 weeks. Finishing up this week. This word will wash you. It will sanctify you. It'll rejoice your heart. It'll restore your soul. It'll make you wise. It'll do God's perfect work in your life. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? First things. First love. Church, have you left your first love? Have you left it? Repent of that. Turn from it. Confess it. And while we're at it, have you left your first love in your marriage? Repent. Turn from it. Start doing the first things again. First love, never leave it. First things, never stop doing them. They're the key. They're the foundation that we build on. Maybe here today, and you would say, yes, I've left my first love. I'm not doing first things. Maybe you can pray a prayer like this. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I have left my first love with you. I am not doing the first things. I don't have this infatuation with you anymore. And I'm asking you to forgive me. You tell me to do the first things. And by faith, I'm returning to you to do the first things. Oh God, would you speak to my heart? Would you allow me to speak to you? Oh God, would you do this work in my heart? I'll hear your word. I'll read your word. I'll study your word. I'll do your word by your power. But oh God, I'm ready for first love again. I'm ready for first things. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name there'll be a commitment just throughout this room and to those who hear this message or watching on home today. I ask, Lord, you'd convict us to believe that this word in Revelation 2 and John 15 is true. It is true. And it's true for our relationship with you. It's true for our spouses. And I ask in Jesus' name for a church that loves you first, that seeks you first, that loves you most. And I want to thank you, God, for how you'll work and how you'll move and how you'll bless in this kind of commitment today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I want you to stand and I want you to see one other thing, okay? One other thing. To love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength, it's like this, okay? We're not doing the blessing yet. Look, it's like this, okay? Okay, that's it, okay? And then I'm going to love my neighbor. Now, who's my closest neighbor? My wife. Is that way down here? No, it's not way down there. It's right up. I mean, it's just right up there. I mean, we're not talking about a whole lot of space between my love for God and love for people. My church, right up there. I mean, even my enemy I'm to love is right up there. It's not way down here. It's right up here. It's just all about a priority of the heart that I do love God most. And then everyone else is, oh, it's paper thin. Maybe that. I mean, not even that. But when this is right, everything else is right. You know that for the 3 days that you've walked in it, or the 3 years you've walked in it, or the 3 decades you've walked in it, this makes life. It makes life abundant and free because I know the living God and I'm living after him. Hey, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace right now, right here, wherever you are, wherever you'll be, in Jesus' name. Offering plates from the back. Thank you for giving the way you've been giving. God bless you. We'll see you soon.